bag, right? And oh, she might have an accident, so I put an extra pair of clothes in the bag, and pacifier, they're going to need toys because they're going to bother me, right? So put some toys in the bag, right? You know, and I'm thinking, okay, guys, remember everything. You know, we're all dressed, looking good, feeling good, got them in the car, got the air conditioning on, packed up my bag. We start to church. All of a sudden, she goes, Dada. I'm like, yeah. I got to go poop. Oh, wow, we're potty training. You know, she gives us like 30 seconds, okay? So she's, Dada, I got to go poop. After poop, it's like 29. 28, 27, 26. I'm like, and my wife has purchased this cool little car thing because we can't find a place usually. So I just pull off the road and I walk in the back and I put this little thing under her and she sits on it and she goes. Guess what I didn't pack? I didn't pack the little thing that she sits on to go to the bathroom. And my wife's at work and we're on our way to church and she's going to go to the bathroom. And let me tell you, I was sweating the small stuff. I mean, it's just a bag. How big of a dork am I? I can't pick up the bag standing next to the door, and I know my little girl has to learn to go to the bathroom. Right? It's one of those things. It's like, what in the world are you thinking? So, yes, the small stuff are important. Believe it or not, I found a place for her to go. Get really good at, you know, contortionists and holding kids and stuff like that, because you definitely don't want it, you know, happen on the kid. So I sweat the small stuff. I'm also a principal, okay? You guys like the AP? You guys know AP classes, right? You all like AP classes, right? Go, yeah, advanced placement. Ooh, roar, college board, ooh, ACT tests, right? You like it all, right? Do these people sweat the small stuff? I gave one AP test. They sent me 30 pages of instructions. Like, I'm supposed to measure your guys' heads, like when you're taking the test. Oh, you guys are too close. There's not 30 inches between your head. That's how 30 inches. They got to be 30 inches. So any way you might move your head in a desk, I got 30 inches before I can have the next guy who might be doing this, right? It's nuts. It's like 30. I'm like, are you kidding me? How am I going to remember? You know, pack page 5 on top of page 4 on top of page 2. Why did you put the numbers on them if I'm not going to put them in number order? Okay? I mean, that's how I'm... Like, are you kidding me? Okay. Now what do I do? I'm afraid to set it down. Somebody might touch it, you know? So I kind of like set it down. I put my knee on it and open up the booklet. Okay. Must go in the box. Okay. Go in the box. Okay. Make sure the yellow sheet's underneath the... Okay. Okay. Hold on. Get it out of the box. Set it here. Get the yellow sheet. Where's the yellow sheet? Put the yellow sheet in the box. Okay. They sweat the small stuff. They think it's important because they think if those small things aren't appropriate, there's going to be a problem with their test. In my life as a dad, when my wife has a system, if the small stuff, if I don't take care of that small stuff, we have a problem. Okay? Joshua, he was charged to take the Israelites into the promised land and eradicate the people that were there. And when I think of Joshua, I think, wow, he did it. So, first verse is going to be Joshua 11, 21 through 23. I think we have it on the screen. Joshua 11, 21 through 23. Okay. And at that time, Joshua, yep, went and destroyed the Anakites. I'm going to read the whole thing. I shortened it up there. From the hill country, from Hebron, Debir, Anab, from the hill country of Judah, and from the hill country of Israel, Joshua totally destroyed them and all their towns. No Anakites were left in Israel, only in Gaza, Gath, and Ashdod. Now, as I was reading it, okay, my whole life I've grown up in church. I have been taught that Joshua went in and he got rid of everybody. That's what God told him to do. He got rid of everybody. I read this verse. He left people in Gaza, Gath, and Ashdod. Now, on the other side, on the other page, it says, he killed the king of Jericho, Ai, Jerusalem, Hebron, Jeremuth, Lachish, Eglag, Gezer, Debir, Gender, Homar, Arad, Libna, Adullam, Oh, some of these are hard ones. Bethel, Tepeth, Hepher. He killed all the rest of those, but he left Gaza, Gath, and Ashdod. And at the time, I'm sure it was just a little thing. Just a small thing. I mean, look what he did for God. Do you guys get caught up in that? I had the idea that he was perfect. You hear about, you know, when he goes in at Jericho, right? They go around the walls, and the walls come tumbling down. Goes to Ai, and Achan sins, and they lose the first battle, but they come back, and they really give it to Ai. And I, you know, that's just the story I'd heard all through my life. Do you guys struggle with some of the little things God tells us to do? Do you struggle with that? Because I know that I struggle with the little things. Our culture is going to tell you, oh, just do some of what God tells you to do. Just do most of what God tells you to do. That's enough, right? That's enough. That's in our culture, right? Just, I mean, to do half a good is better than no good. Isn't that what our culture tells you? Is a half-truth a good thing? If I tell you half the truth, I saw Brady walking out of the girls' bathroom. Half a truth. What do you think? Is that the truth? No, that's not the truth. That's part of the truth. Okay? So if you're just going to give God half, and you say, well, hey, we're in high school, we're in middle school, you know, we're beginning college, we don't have to deal with this. I'm going to tell you today that the little things that God has for us, if we build those in our lives, we'll be able to make a huge impact with our decisions to serve Christ in the future. But sometimes we like to just steal a couple little things. They're just small things. God doesn't really care if I'm a hard worker. God doesn't care that I really hate my brother. You know, I love my mom, I love my dad, hate my brother, pull it out, okay? Well, God doesn't care that I'm pure in my relationships with my boyfriend. I mean, we're in love. We can do all these things. We're going to get married, so it's okay. We can do anything we want to do because we're in love. God wants me to be happy. These are the decisions. My whole job is helping people make good decisions. And today I'm here to tell you that when it comes to your spiritual walk in your life, these little things are going to be important. So first, we're going to look at Judges 16:21. We're going to look at the first city. Judges 16:21. I think we've got it. I hope. Okay, Judges 16:21. Then the Philistines seized him, gouged out his eyes, and took him down to Gaza, binding him with bronze shackles. They sent him to grinding in the prison. Do you know who this verse is about? Huh? You can say it, I promise. I'm not going to be mad. Samson. Okay? Does anybody know? This is so crazy. Joshua, 200 or 300 years earlier, could have wiped out Gaza. In Hebrew, Gaza means a strong place. I don't think Samson had a good time in Gaza. Okay? Gaza was allowed to remain, and it became a problem for the Israelites throughout their entire existence. As a matter of fact, have any of you watched the news lately? Guess what little speck of the earth continues to give Israel trouble today? Thousands of years after Joshua could have gotten rid of it. Gaza. They lob bombs into Israel every day from Gaza. One of the biggest terrorist organizations on the planet resides in Gaza today. But Joshua just left them in Gaza. It was just a small thing back then, but it became a strong place. It became a huge thing. Samson, you know, he looked at the women from Gaza. He wanted a wife from the Philistines. He was a judge, empowered by God, superhuman strength, all this stuff. He ends up, they've got him, and they gouge his eyes out. It becomes a strong place in your life. And it was all about thoughts. And this is where I believe your guys' thinking leaves a strong place in your life. Okay? Because our culture tells you, our world tells you, don't sweat the small stuff. Who cares? Who cares? I know you guys care about grades. I understand that. Okay? But there's other things in life that I would believe that you don't care about that are still important. Okay? Everybody wants to look at the next person. Well, I'm better than him. I do this. I'm better than her. I do this. Okay? We let our thinking create these strongholds in our minds. Our culture continuously deals with this. Okay? The Bible tells you, you can do all things. Proverbs tells me, as you think, you are. As you think you are, Proverbs. What are you thinking about? Are you leaving these strongholds? Or are you going after them? You know, I'm godly enough. I do the right thing enough. You know, I'm going to go to church. I'm going to pray. I'm going to love my family. I'm going to remain pure. I'm going to do all these things. But my job, where I want it, what I want to do, is what I want to do. That doesn't sound godly to me. If you want to do what you want to do, I want to do what he wants me to do. Okay? For those of you that don't know, I grew up in a Christian school. Okay? Now I'm a principal of a Christian school. And when I left that Christian school, I said, I want nothing to do with this. God, I'll do anything you want. I'll eat gnats in Zimbabwe. I'll eat ducks in the Philippines. I'll do anything you want me to do, but I will not work at a Christian school. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. I hate those people. I'm never going back. So I went to U of M, got a teaching degree, was going to law school at night, you know, doing great things. Lost my job teaching in a public school. Applied for a job. No job. A friend of mine was teaching at a Christian school in Southfield. She's like, hey, why don't you know, the guy died. Our teacher died. We need a teacher. Oh, I hate Christian schools. I hate them. I don't want to go back. Oh, come on, please, just help us out. Why are you looking for a job? Just, the guy died. We need a teacher. Okay. So, I start teaching in a Christian school. I loved it. And became more and more involved. I did more and more things to the point where I quit law school. I was going to Wayne State Law School and I quit. Because I finally was submitting in my life. I was making a decision based upon what God wanted. It wasn't my thoughts. It wasn't a stronghold. I was overcoming a stronghold in my life. People say, oh, what do you mean? So 2 Corinthians 10, verses 4 and 5, which we should have up there. 2 Corinthians 10, verses 4 and 5. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. You're allowing these strongholds in your mind. I'm going to do what I want to do when it comes to this. I'm going to do what I want to do when it comes to this relationship. I'm 10 out of 11 things, I'm doing 10 things right. But the 11th thing is a stronghold. And the scripture tells us, you have to fight it. You have to fight the strongholds that are there. And I'm actually encouraging you not let the stronghold take root. Don't say, I'm going to do everything but this. That's the thing you're going to struggle with. Okay? To make every thought obedient to what Christ would have for you. Is this making sense? We give it all except this. You know, I'm going to do everything, but I'm not going to give to the church. I'm going to keep my money. It's my money. Okay? Oh, I'm not going to serve people. I, you know, I'll go to church, I sing, I read my Bible, I do all this, but I'm not going to help people. God, get a life. You know, I got things to do. I got an iPhone and computer and study for the AP test. I got a lot going on. I don't have time to help them. You give it all except holding these one things back. And we need to make it obedient to Christ. It's hard, guys. It's hard. There's a story I love about this little boy. Maybe you guys have heard this story. The tide washed in a bunch of starfish. Have you heard this story? And all of a sudden, this little boy sees all the starfish, and he's like, wow. And he starts to pick up the starfish and then chuck it back into the ocean. And this old man's sitting up there, and he's like, well, that's really dumb. I mean, there's thousands of starfish. He's like, well, I know the boy's trying to be nice. So he comes up to the little boy and says, hey, you know, there are thousands of starfish. You're not really going to make a difference by throwing them back. And he picks up a starfish and he goes, will I make a difference for this one? And he throws it back into the ocean. Yes, you may not be able to save everybody, but we know that it's clear that we're to serve and give and make a difference in people's lives. Okay, so you following me so far? So the first one is Gaza. Why Joshua left Gaza was a stronghold. I equate it to your thoughts, what the culture is trying to tell you. And we're giving into it. We're giving into it. When I talk to the kids at my school all the time, I'm going to do right, I'm going to be a good dad, I'm going to do all these things, but man, I am going to make a lot of money. I'm only looking for a job that makes a lot of money. That's it. I want to make a lot of money. That's going to make me happy. I talk to other people. I'm doing everything. I'm going to submit to God, but I've already found the person I love, and we're just going to do some wrong things and pretend they're right. We're going to be physical in our relationship because we're in love. I tell you what it comes down to. Puppy love leads to a dog's life. Okay? Almost every one of these kids that did this, and some of them make big mistakes, some of them get married because they have to, and then get divorced 5 years later. They keep making these. They just give everything except this. I'm going to do what I want to do. This is important to me. Okay? Continuous generations continue to pay because Gaza was left. The second city he left was Gath. Gath is one of those cities that in the Old Testament I love to read about because I know you guys know a little bit about the story. So it's 1 Samuel verses chapter 17. 1 Samuel verses 17, chapter 17 is the story of David and Goliath. Do we know about David and Goliath? Right. What happened? Somebody tell me. What happened? Who's David? Come on, talk. It's okay, I promise. Who's David? Who's David? Hello? Does anybody know who David is? Little guy, right? Does anybody know who he is? Little guy? His brothers are fighting a war, yes? You got it? Okay. He goes, his dad tells him to take some pizza to his brothers. Did you guys know that? Cheese and bread, pizza. He says, take your brothers some pizza. Okay? They're hungry. And he gets there, and there's this big guy. What's his name? Goliath. They think Goliath was over 9 feet tall. Isn't that pretty cool? That's like two of me. Woo, on top of each other. 9 feet tall. He's huge. He's a giant, right? What happens? David goes down. What does he do? He picks up something. What does he pick up? Five stones. He picks up five stones. I love this. Does anybody know why he picked up five? Did he not think the first one was going to do it? What? To kill off the brothers. Okay? Rapha is Goliath's family. Okay? Goliath has four brothers. Do you know where they're from? They're from Gath. Joshua didn't take out the city of Gath. Rapha lives there and creates these giants. 9 feet tall. They're so big that they have 6 digits on every extremity. The Bible says they have 6 fingers on each hand and 6 toes on each feet because they're so big that 5 wouldn't do. Okay? I don't know if it's 2 thumbs or 5 fingers and a thumb. I have no idea. But they have 6 digits. Okay? So David comes down, picks up the 5 stones, takes the one. God supercharges it, right? Says that it hit him in the forehead. No, uh-uh. It says it was sunken into his forehead. I mean, it wasn't just bam and die. It left a hole. It went in the head. And it says that Goliath fell face first. And then David, that little boy, goes and grabs that big old sword off of Goliath. Whack! Chops his head off. Picks his head up. Imagine how big the head of Goliath. If he was 9 foot, how big a head David would be holding. I mean, this is just, man, this is a giant in his life. It's a huge thing. Where are they from? They're from Gath. Okay? He and his brothers mocked Israel. The Philistines caused permanent torture to the Israelites throughout their history. Okay? And I'm telling you guys that these little things can become giants. Not only a stronghold in your mind, but they become a literal giant. I think I'm a pretty tough dude, but I don't want to take on a 9-foot dude. What am I going to do? I'm going to break his knees? What am I going to do? He's 9 foot. Okay? That is a big dude. I mean, the biggest guy I've ever met was 7'2". And he was giant. I'm like, oh, dude. You're like huge. Goliath's got 2 more feet on him. It's a mammoth, okay? Your houses, Goliath's head would be sticking through this ceiling right now. This is an 8-foot ceiling. A whole another 12 inches above the tile is how tall the dude would be standing. I can't even touch it without jumping, okay? Think of that giant in your life. These little things become giants, okay? We need to be faithful, honor our families, serve one another, give to the church. Love, come to church, and submit our will for His. These are just little things, but they become giants. For those of you that don't know, I do love this, and it's not up there. I'm going to take you to 2 Samuel really quick. 2 Samuel chapter 21. Okay. We're going to start in verse 15. Okay. Now, 2 Samuel, this is the end of David's life. So you got to see David takes on Goliath, right? You've seen that. You know that story. Well, let's see. I don't know if you guys know, but Goliath's brother is ticked. And he waits David out. And at the end of David's life, David goes after Goliath's brother. Okay? So, 2 Samuel, chapter 21, we will start in verse 15. Once again, there was a battle between the Philistines and Israel. David went down with his men to fight against the Philistines, and he became exhausted. Now, he's an old guy now. He's old. He's tired. He's out there fighting with these young guys. Okay? And Ishbi-benob, one of the descendants of Rapha. Uh-oh. Who's Rapha? That's Goliath's mommy and daddy. Okay? So this is Goliath's brother comes after it, whose bronze spearhead weighed 300 shekels, and who was armed with a new sword so that he would kill David. Somebody kills your brother, you remember it, right? So Goliath's brother, he's ready for David. And it goes on, okay? And Abishai, the son, came to David's rescue, and he struck the Philistine down and killed him. Okay? Joshua didn't take care of Gath. Gath produced 5 Goliaths. David takes out the first one. Right here it talks about all the other ones that die. But the last one was getting ready to kill David. The only thing that saves David is a young guy. The young guy comes up, takes care of it, and then they tell David, you can never again come to fight with us because you're too old. And we don't want they call him the light of Israel. The light of Israel to be extinguished. Okay? So even though David had great triumph over Goliath, he was getting ready to get it from Goliath's brother. So even when we take care of some of these giants in our lives, we've left other giants sitting there that are going to get us someday. It could be lying. It could be cheating. Bad character. All these little things. I want to tell you today, sweat the small stuff. Don't be a liar when it doesn't matter, because you'll be a liar when it does. Don't be unkind when it doesn't matter, because you'll be unkind when it does. You're building these things for your life so that you can make good decisions and make maximum impact for Jesus Christ. But sometimes we let these things hang out. My middle son, or actually my middle child, his name is Reese. He was born, he was huge, okay? I mean huge. My wife, when she had him, I'm like, oh, holy cow. He was over 10 pounds, okay? Our first son was like 7 pounds. Our second son, like I made him walk home, okay? He was so huge, okay? It's like he's gigango huge. I mean, as he's coming out, the doctor's like, get the other doctor. We're going to need two doctors to hold this baby. I mean, just like, ah! Monster child comes out, okay? So it's great. Big babies are great because they like to eat, which means they like to sleep, okay? Which means daddy's happy. Feed him and put him to bed. Okay, so he comes out, rah, big monster baby. And so we get home and everything's going well and the kid is packing it away. I mean, he's just eating tons of food. All of a sudden, he starts to break out. Okay. Whoa. Next day, it was like, okay, now it wasn't like breaking out. Now it was like blood under the skin. Wow. Take him to the doctor. We don't know. Something's wrong with your kid. Oh, okay. Well, we'll put this, try that, give him this, pray, doing all things. All of a sudden, parts of his skin start to chunk off, like leprosy. Face and body's blood red. 6 months old. Okay. Start to freak out time, right? You know, woo, God, hello, I'm serving you, I love my wife, I tithe, I go to church, I love people. My baby is sick, starts to get worse. 17 doctors in 16 days we went to, okay, any doctor. They told us, oh, there's this really smart guy down at Children's Hospital. So we called. No, your baby's not sick enough. We're not going to talk to you. Are you kidding me? My baby's not sick enough? So the one doctor comes in, and she just starts to bawl. She's like, dude, I don't know what to tell you. Your kid's going to die. Okay, I don't know what's going on. Your kid's going to die. You're like, well, could you help us with something? You know, do something. You're the doctor. Hello. I'm a teacher. Okay? So she says, I'll call this guy at Children's Hospital. The guy was real ticked. I'll give you 15 minutes. Come down at this time, 15 minutes. I'll look at your baby. So we get in the car, get down there. Guy comes in. Holy crap. Your kid's messed up. I'm like, hello, duh. That's why we were calling you. He's like, I don't even know what it is. But I like puzzles. I'm like, what? I like puzzles. So may I take some pictures of your baby? So he takes pictures. Go home. I don't know what to do. So we go home. All of a sudden, he calls my wife 2 days later. Baby is really sick. Okay. Not only at that time, not only did the blood start coming through, but he looked like a little balloon. Okay. Everything was just really fat, like monster. It's like, what's going on? My son is allergic to protein. Everything you give a baby is usually protein. Okay? So it's something you need to live. It's something you need for your brain to develop. But he's allergic to protein. So they've tried to find a protein that he could handle. So they did some testing and they found a protein. It was a special concoction that a pharmacist made. Now remember, he was a big dude, right? So it was costing me $45 a day to feed him. Okay? I don't have that kind of money. Okay? You know what I mean? So it's one of those things. It would be really easy to get rid of all the small stuff, all this garbage I've been taught my whole life. Forget this God junk. Okay? I'm doing everything I'm supposed to do. But even though you're thinking these thoughts, you're still not fully giving it over to Him. That baby's mine, but whose baby is it really? It's His. Okay? And He's laying the framework for me to realize children are a present to me, but they're His. And I have to train my children to know they're His. I'm just a caretaker. All these little things, it'll be an easy time. You're going to face giants. That was the biggest giant I've ever faced. I thought my kid was going to die, and I thought my wife was going to leave me because she's going crazy because her kid's dying. It's pretty heavy. Okay? For you guys, I don't know what it's going to be. I had no inkling that was going to happen in my life, but it was a giant. And you have to continue to build the little bricks. And what prevented me from just throwing it all away were the little things that I built up in my life. And I'm encouraging you to do the last. I'll hurry. I'm over time. The last city was Ashdod. Okay, Ashdod. 1 Samuel 5:1. We'll get there. I'm going to jump ahead. There we go. After the Philistines had captured the Ark of God, they took it from Ebenezer to Ashdod. Now the Philistines took the very presence of God. For those of you that don't know, in the Old Testament, the Ark of the Covenant is the presence of God. The manna, a little bit of the manna is in there from when they were lost in the wilderness. I mean, this is it. It's supposed to go in the center of the temple. And the presence of God is there in the Old Testament. Veil, tie a rope around the priest who walks in there, because if he hasn't done everything right, boom, he's going to be dead, and you've got to get a way to drag him out, because he's going to stink. Okay? So, the Philistines took it. They took it back to Ashdod. Okay? So, these cities, these little things for Joshua, just little things, became huge things. They stole the very presence of God. The most precious thing to an Israelite. For you guys, there's little things today that are going to be very precious. I talk to kids all the time, and I don't know how much you guys talk about it here, so I'll be very discreet. When it comes to physical relationships, if you give away something that's supposed to be for somebody else, you're going to give away something that's very precious. All the time kids come back, I hear from kids, they were a little bit promiscuous and now they can't have children. They were a little bit promiscuous and now they have this thing that they carry, a disease maybe, that now when they get married, they have to tell their husband to be. I gave away something that was very precious because I didn't have these little things stacked up correctly in my life. Okay? These little things. And then the problem is, you're going to give away something that's so precious. They were able to steal the presence of God and take it to their country because Joshua didn't take care of a little thing. Do you get it? I'm trying to show you an Old Testament picture for a New Testament application. The verse that I want to leave you with is Luke 16:10. I apologize for going over. Luke 16:10. Whoever can be trusted with the very little can also be trusted with much. And whoever is dishonest with very little will be dishonest. Didn't say maybe. You will be dishonest. If you're dishonest with the little, you're going to be dishonest with much. If you're going to hold something back from God, someday it's going to be much. Do you get that? My challenge today is don't hold back. You know, I'm not saying sweat the small stuff, sweat the stupid stuff. I'm saying sweat the small stuff, the little things that we need to be doing in our lives to create a wonderful life that can be a glorious service to Jesus Christ. Present your body a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. It comes with the little things. It doesn't come with just the huge things. Let's pray. Lord, I love you and I thank you for the students here. Thank you for this church, Brady, all the help that they have here at this church, people who serve and minister. Pray for the decisions that we all have to make, that we will submit those to you, that we will sweat the small stuff, that we will build the right foundation, we will build the right work ethic, thought process, keep the precious things, don't allow a giant to come into our lives. We ask all this in your name. Amen.